You're listening to the Gateway Family Church Podcast. This is the place to find the latest thoughts from Gabriel and Mike Wright, the lead pastors of Gateway Family. Here we go.
Hey, what I want to do is I want to talk to you about Jesus. And if you've been saved for a long time, if you're a Christian, then what this message is going to do is this message is going to really help you understand how to be a better Christian. Because here's the thing. As a Christian, the Bible says that, but the word Christian means to be a small version, a likeness of Christ. And so as a Christian, our goal is to be like Christ. He's our example. The Bible calls him the firstborn among many. In other words, it is our goal as Christians to be like him, to act the way he acted, to talk the way he talked, to do the things he did. And so today, as we open up and reveal to you some of the aspects of Christ, as a Christian, what you want to do is you want to be taking notes on how can I apply the way Christ lived to my life? What are the things that I need to change to be able to be more like him? If you're not a Christian today, you just showed up today, you don't know Jesus, maybe you're new to church today, that's okay too, because here's the thing. This is my favorite part about being a preacher is I get to introduce you to Jesus. There's a lot of us in this room right now that can tell you some crazy stories about how our life was and how our life is pre-Jesus and post-Jesus. He has absolutely changed our life. And so what I want to do today, if you don't know Christ, is I want to introduce you to him. I want you to be able to see him today, maybe in a little bit different light than what you've seen on TV or maybe what you've experienced at some church in the past. We want to show you a better, a more realistic view of who Christ is today. So today we're going to start out, and I told you to turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 9. We're going to get there in just a minute. I'm really kind of falling in love with this book. If any of you guys are, especially if you're interested in church leadership and how to run church and how to operate things, man, you ought to read 1 Corinthians. It's a very good book. As Paul really is talking to the Corinthian church, trying to help these guys out. They had some issues going on, good and bad, and he was really working with them. But before we get into that, I want to talk about the fact that Jesus was relevant. So our key word for today is relevant. And here's the problem with the word relevant. Especially in church world today, people think that to be relevant means I've got to do certain things to appeal to you, right? And so what we see a lot of times is we see guys that are not this way, but they go out and get their hair cut a certain way, and they start getting a bunch of tattoos and earrings, and they think, I've got to do this in order to appeal to a certain segment of the population. Or maybe we see people coming in and they think, I've got to appeal to this group, so I've got to dress a certain way, or I've got to throw out some really cool words. One time, I'm not going to say any names, especially since I don't remember the guy's name, so that's good, right? But I knew this guy one time, and he was a youth pastor, and he wanted to appeal more to the young people in his youth group. And so one day he was on the microphone and he was praying. One of my brother-in-laws was in his youth group at the time, and he was praying. And whenever he got done with his prayer, instead of saying amen, which is fine, like, and I don't even care if you don't say amen. I mean, if you want to say, you know, goodbye or whatever you want to say to God, it doesn't matter what you say at the end. But here's the thing: when he got done with his prayer, he was like, "Yo, peace out, God." And like all the teenagers looked at him like, what in the world? You just use peace out. That's like from like 1993. Like, we don't use that anymore anyway. But second of all, you shouldn't pray like that, right? And so this guy's just trying to be cool, trying to be something he's not to appeal to people. And it didn't really work out the way he thought it was going to. And so we need to understand that relevant isn't like that. And so today I'm going to give you four quick thoughts on what does it mean to be relevant. We're going to look at the life of Christ. We're also going to look at Paul. And Paul was one of the best missionaries we've ever seen. We're going to look at his life and show you some of the ways that these guys were able to be relevant to their culture, but at the same time maintain their authenticity, like Pastor Shane talked about last week. Something I noticed in the life of Christ. And I just wrote down a couple of things here that I want to tell you. I started studying the times of Christ and what was life like in general. And how did that affect his messages, his ability to speak, and the things that he said? Because I really don't think Jesus was one of those people that would just go out and preach willy-nilly, just preach whatever he wanted to. I really have to think he was way more strategic than that. And so I started looking at what was going on around him at the time that he was preaching. And here's some of the things I noticed. I noticed that Christ uses a lot of his messages are about being prepared for life after death, whether that's end times or whether that's you dying, but he is constantly telling stories about being prepared. He's got one story about a rich man and a poor man and how the rich man treated the poor man like junk, and then one day they both died, and the rich man found himself in hell, the poor man found himself in heaven, and the rich man kept saying, if only I had known. And he said, you did know, you didn't prepare yourself. There's a story in the Bible about some ladies that were getting ready to get married. And there was 10 ladies that were getting ready to get married. 5 of them didn't have enough oil to burn in their lamps. Now, I know that doesn't make a lot of sense to most of us because we don't burn oil lamps anymore. But these ladies, they didn't have enough batteries for their flashlights. And so they didn't have what it took, right? And so the Bible says they were not prepared. And as they left to go get their oil, the bridegroom came, the husband came, and they got left out in the cold. And so Jesus preaches all these messages on being prepared for the end. And I got to thinking, why would he preach all these messages on being prepared for the end? And then I started studying. Did you know this? At the time of Christ, the life expectancy for anybody was only between 40 and 45 years old. If you lived past 45, you were doing really, really good. Nowadays, we've got people hitting 100 regular. Back in those days, you didn't. And so it was very essential for him to let people know what was happening. As a matter of fact, in the Jewish, among the Jews, 3 out of every 10 kids died before 18 years old. Outside of the Jewish communities, it was even higher than that. You're talking about 30% of everybody born didn't even make it to 18. So making it to 18 puts you in the 70th percentile, maybe 60th if you're outside of Israel. It puts you in a different bracket. And so whenever Christ is talking to people about being prepared, he's doing it out of a sense of urgency because these folks just didn't live too long. You make it to 18, 20, you're already midlife crisis mode, right? And so he had this sense of urgency. Why? Because of what was going on around him. Therefore, every message he preached was very relevant. Because he's talking to people that maybe 25 years old, 30 years old, and they're a 30-year-old looking at his life. Like, I'm 34 right now. I would be looking and saying, I might only have 10 good years left. So if someone starts telling me about the end, I'm going to listen. Another thing I thought was very cool about Christ was this. Back in those days, there was a lot of religious burdens being put on people. We hear a lot of times, if you've ever been in church or Sunday school as a kid, then you heard the Ten Commandments. Everybody knows the Ten Commandments, right? So you've heard about these Ten Commandments. Well, really, there was more commandments than that. The Bible says that they actually had somewhere about 700 commandments the Jews ended up with. They just kept adding commandment on top of commandment in order to be able to try and fulfill the law, and it was just really, really difficult. And the priests would put this heavy burden on the people. All the religious leaders would put these heavy burdens on the people. And it got to be the point where the religious leaders were really out for money. A lot of them were. And so they would do things like taxing people on certain things and forcing you to buy this sacrifice. And they would do all this stuff. And it was so hard. They made living for God very, very difficult for people. That's why Jesus came in and he started saying things like, come to me and bring me all your heavy burdens. Bring me all the weight that's been put upon you, and I will give you rest. If you go in and study the verse, I think it's in Matthew 28, when he's talking about that, it literally means, bring me all of your heavy religious burdens that someone else has put on you, and let me give you rest. He says, my yoke is easy. My way is a lot easier than what they're trying to tell you to do. Well, see, that was very relevant at that time because that's what people really needed to hear. That's what they were struggling with. Jesus lived at a time whenever there was a lot of disunity. There was a lot of prejudice. There was a lot of racism. There was a lot of religious disunity. The church was broken up into factions. You had the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the scribes and the zealots. And you had all these different groups within the church, and they all had their own deal going on and their own battles going on. And so Christ came in and starts preaching these messages of unity and love, loving your neighbor, loving someone as yourself. He comes in and says, hey, look, you even have to love the Samaritans. And back in those days, that was a very racially divided area. He says, you got to love the Samaritans. As a Jew, you got to love them. And he begins to preach these messages about if someone slaps you on one cheek, turn to them the other cheek. Now to us, we're like, oh, that's nice, Jesus. He's just so full of love, you know. At the time, though, you got to understand the nature of the culture was very divided. So for a man to come in and start preaching things like unity, he stirred up the religious leaders, but that's what people, that's why Jesus could walk out and all immediately have anywhere from 5 to 15,000 people show up to listen to him speak. Why? Because he said things that were relevant to where they lived. You know what the most popular jobs back in those days? Shepherds, farmers, builders. If you look through Jesus' parables, all of his messages, he's talking about shepherds, farmers, and builders. Why? Because people could relate to it. So we need that understanding of how Christ was able to relate to people, because here's the thing, we need to relate to people. What we've done in the church world for so long is we've established a set of rules. We've established this way of being, and if you don't meet up to this standard, then you're just kind of left out in the cold. And that's not at all what Jesus did. Jesus was all about, let me get on your level, not bring you up to mine. Let me get on your level, and then I'll take you up another level, but let me get down here with you first. That's why someone like Mother Teresa is so powerful, because Mother Teresa had this ability to look past what all the other religious people said she should do and get down on the level of a street person and bring them up and love them where they were. So I want to look at this verse in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, because I want to see how Paul did the same stuff. Look at this with me, and you may not understand all of this. I'll explain as much as I can. We'll start at verse 21, and we'll go down to verse 23. Okay? He says this, when I'm with the Gentiles who do not follow Jewish law, I too live apart from that law so I can bring them to Christ. But I do not ignore the law of God. I obey the law of Christ. Verse 22, when I'm with those who are weak, I share in their weaknesses. For I want to bring the weak to Christ. Yes, I try to find common ground with everyone, doing everything I can to save some. I do everything to spread the good news and share in its blessings. I want you today, if you can, highlight in your phone or in your Bible, highlight verse 22, where he says, yes, I try to find common ground with everyone, doing everything I can to save some, because that's really where we're going to be coming from today. Here's the thing that Paul says. Paul says, to the weak I become weak, to the strong I become strong, to the Jew I become a Jew, to the Gentile I become a Gentile. What does that mean? It means this. When Paul was talking to people that were not Jews at all, he was able to relate to them on a non-Jewish level. See, the non-Jews that were Christians, they didn't do stuff like circumcision and the sacrifices, and they didn't have all the old Jewish customs or background. So when Paul ministered to them, he didn't do all that stuff either. But whenever he went over to the Jews and ministered to them, now all of a sudden, because he was Jewish, he's able to go in and he says, yeah, I follow all of your same rules. It's not that he was being fake. It was that he was adapting the way he ministered to different people. So I want you to look at four things real quick. Number one, relevance must have a purpose. Relevance must have a purpose. We can't be relevant just for the sake of being relevant. We can't be relevant for the sake of being cool. Okay? That's one of the problems I think that we find in a lot of churches today, in a lot of Christians today, is normally in the younger generations, my generation and below, is they feel like I've got to be something. You know, I've got to prove that Christians can be cool. It's not about being cool. It's about reaching people. Look at what Paul says, doing everything I can to save some. In other words, what Paul says is the whole purpose of me being relevant is so people can get saved. Like, I don't care what you think about me. I want to be able to bring you to Christ. And my whole goal in life is to bring you to Christ. Can I tell you something today? Our whole goal as Christians should be to fill heaven up. right? Like everything we think about should be, how can I get someone else saved? Not necessarily, how cool can I be? How many Christian friends can I have? It should be, how can I get this person from not knowing Jesus to introducing them to Jesus Christ? How can I fill heaven up, not just how can I get to heaven? How can I take as many people with me as possible? That's the one thing that defined Paul's ministry. It defined Jesus' ministry. When Jesus shows up at a sinner's house one day and the sinner gives his heart to God, Jesus says this, "The Son of Man, me, I've come to seek and save that which was lost." In other words, what Jesus says is, my whole goal here is to save people. My whole goal here is to be a doorway, a gateway to heaven, to get people to God. You don't go to God except through me. And so my whole purpose here, now he did a lot of healing, he did a lot of preaching, he did a lot of great things, but his purpose was to get people saved. That's what he wanted more than anything else. I got to get people saved. There's a story later on in the Bible. I'll read it a little bit later. There was a story one time about a man who the Bible said has palsy, and he's got this crippling disease. He can't walk. He can't move, and he's all twisted up. And his buddies brought him to Jesus. And when they brought him to Jesus, they were expecting Jesus to heal him. But the first thing Christ says is, "Your sins are forgiven." Now notice, he didn't heal him first. He didn't say, "Oh man, you obviously need a healing. Let me raise you up out of that bed and then I'm going to talk to you." His first goal, Jesus' first goal is always, how can I get somebody saved? Can I tell you today, in your life, your goal, your purpose, your destiny should be tied to the fact that we've got to get other people to serve Jesus Christ. And if you're not serving Christ today, I encourage you to serve Christ today. Somebody probably brought you today because they're serving Christ and they want you to be with them. My purpose every time I get up in front of you is to make sure you know him. That's my number one goal. And that should be, that was Christ's goal, that was Paul's goal. Number two, the second thing we've got to do to be relevant is to find common ground. I love how Paul puts that there. He says find common ground. It doesn't necessarily say that he becomes just like somebody else. Okay? In other words, Paul doesn't walk up into a bar with a bunch of drunks and say, "All right, in order for me to get this guy saved, I'm going to have to just get plastered." Right? He doesn't do that. That doesn't work. Right? What does he do? He finds common ground. I'm not like everybody in this room, but I promise you, at some point, if we talk long enough, I can find common ground with everybody in this room. Right? There's some level that we can talk on. For some of you, we're going to have a lot more conversation because we got a lot more in common. For others of you, we may not have as much, but we will find something. Your goal as a Christian should be, how can I find common ground? Not how can I be just like that person? Because I'm going to be honest with you. Most people don't want you to be just like them. When I was in high school, I was a Christian. I served God. I was my own man, though. I mean, like, I was that cat showing up in high school with plaid pants and bowling shoes on, right? I didn't think about the fact that they waxed the floors in the high school and I fell down a lot. Yeah. If you watch the Super Bowl, you saw Bruno Mars doing his dance where he does his feet like, I'm not even going to pretend like I can do it. He got that from me, watching me just trying to walk down the hallways. I mean, that was me, like backwards and spinning and just because I couldn't walk. That was me. I loved to have fun in high school. I loved to enjoy myself. But the thing is, what I didn't do is I didn't try and be like everybody else. And my friends liked that about me. My friends liked the fact that when they would go out and party and get drunk, they just didn't even call me. But if they were going to go to someone's house and play video games or watch a basketball game, they would definitely call me. They'd be like, "Hey, man, we want you to come with us. Come hang out with us. We like being around you." And some of my friends would warn me. They'd be like, "Now look, at about 9 o'clock, these other dudes are coming over." You know, I'm like, "You're going to need to leave." Why? Because they understood I was a Christian, and I was able to reach some of them. I didn't reach all of them, but I was able to reach some of them. Because I didn't try and be just like them. I was myself, but I related to them. Does that make sense? So we've got to find common ground with other people. That's why Jesus did what he did about the fishermen and the shepherds and the farmers and the builders. He was always trying to find common ground. Notice that Jesus would do things like go get in the boat with folks. Right? Now, I don't know that Jesus was the best fisherman in the world. He was a builder. He was a builder. So I don't know that he was the best fisherman in the world, but he probably enjoyed fishing. So he would go get in the boat with fishermen. and hang out with fishermen. He would go down by the shore and talk to fishermen, and he had something. He could converse with them. And then he used some of his God powers to make them catch a whole bunch of fish, and they all loved him for it, right? He was good at that. The Bible says later on he knew how to cook fish. Well, in the South, you and I know, anytime you fry some fish, you can make friends real easy, right? Why? Jesus just understood, if I'm going to relate to people, right, there are certain things I'm going to have to do. There's certain things I'm going to have to do. And he did things to find common ground with everybody. Paul tried to find common ground. The Bible says there's one place in Paul's life where he became a tent maker. Like, that's so random to me, right? He grows up being trained to be a religious leader. He grows up being a thug, like killing and arresting Christians. And then he gets converted. He finds Christ. But the Bible says at one point he began making tents. Like, that's just so, like, all right, we're just going to start making tents now. But then you read why he did that, because he got hooked up with some other tent makers. So he's like leading them to Christ through tent making. There's some of you guys, the only reason you're at this church today is because a handful of dudes went out to the ballpark out there and said, we're going to play football on Sunday afternoons. Right, Brett? I mean, that's the only reason you came, is because a bunch of dudes went out to play football. What happened? We found common ground. We found common ground. So it's important that you learn to find common ground with people. Let's move on. Number three, we need to learn to keep the message, but adapt the methods. Keep the message, but adapt the message. Methods. Here's the thing that Jesus did that I love about Christ. Jesus and John the Baptist were cousins, okay? Now, Jesus and John the Baptist preached the exact same message. The Bible says they both had the message of repentance. In other words, change the way you think, change the way you live, conform the way you are to be more like God, right? So they had the same exact message, but here's the thing. They both had very different methods of accomplishing that. The Bible says John the Baptist hung out in the wilderness. Jesus hung out in town. John the Baptist was very solitary. Jesus hung out with people all the time. John the Baptist ate locust and wild honey. That's just weird. He was kind of a hippie. And Jesus, on the other hand, went to people's houses and ate with them and fried fish. We already read that part. Very different people. Same exact message. Same exact message. Don't ever think that you have to be like somebody else to reach somebody. Sometimes we have to learn in church to change the way we say it, the way we do it, while not cheating on what we say and what we do. Does that make sense? We've got to make sure that we adapt that. And one of the ways you got to do that is to know your audience. I put that in there. Know your audience. Here's the thing about Jesus. Jesus would take people. Quite a few places in the Bible where Jesus would speak to crowds, large crowds of people, and he would say one level of message. And then the Bible would say that he would grab some of his disciples, like his 12 main disciples, and he would go out, get on a boat, and go somewhere. And as he's out with them, he would go even deeper in the smaller group of people that kind of knew what was going on. He would go even deeper. And then sometimes he would take three of those guys and take them even further and go even deeper with them. What's happening? He understands that you've got to know who you're talking to. There are times when you can go deep and times when you need to go shallow. If you ever learn how to swim, the way you learn how to swim is not by jumping in the deep end first. Right? That's not the way to swim. Why? Because that's called drowning. And that's where you die. Okay? No. The way you swim is you start out in the shallow end. And then people progressively bring you to the deep end. I tell people this sometimes as a church, we need to understand that we cannot be a diving pool. You know what a diving pool is? When I was a kid, we had the city pool was right behind my junior high school. They had three swimming pools out there. They had a regular, like Olympic swimming pool. They had a kiddie pool, and they had a diving pool. And so the kiddie pool was about that deep, right? The diving pool was 12 feet deep, and the swimming pool had a deep end and a shallow end. What some people do is they focus just on the kiddie pool. We're just going to be all shallow all the time. Well, yeah, anybody can get in the kiddie pool. They can enjoy that. That's great. But you got to go deeper. At some point, Paul says you can't just stay like a baby drinking milk. At some point, you got to eat meat. But then on the flip side, sometimes the pendulum swings the other way, and some people just want to take you to the deep end. Let's just throw you in the diving pool and see what happens. One thing I love about this group that we have right here is we've got some folks, man, you are definitely deep end people. Like you've been swimming in the deep end for years, right? Sarah and Gary Wilson, some of my favorite people, some of the elders of this house, they help oversee everybody. Deep end people. But then we got some folks brand new, not just to church, brand new to God. And they're shallow end people. So with Gary and Sarah, like I'm expecting them to be praying and reading their Bible and witnessing. With shallow end people, sometimes I'm just glad if they read a chapter. Like I'm just like, man, I'm excited that you read a verse today. Like, yes, way to go. You know, let's keep progressing. And so we've got to know our audience. Jesus and Paul both understood that so well, and they were able to always bring people along. They didn't just throw them in. They were able to bring people along at different levels. So how does that work for me as a worker, on my job or in my family? Man, if you bust up in your work and you start talking about like all the deep things of God, you're going to have people at work looking at you like sideways, right? They don't know what you're talking about. You start off at a level that they can get. One of the things I tell people all the time, especially new Christians, I'm like, I want you to just read like the book of Proverbs first. Because it's easy to read. You can read a chapter a day. But now, if you're a Christian, you're established. I mean, I'm expecting you to like really be, that's why I'm saying, hey, read 1 Corinthians. Like dive into it, study it, get some commentaries. I don't tell new Christians to get commentaries on stuff. I don't tell new Christians to do that. Why? Because we just got to bring them along. So if you're going to be relevant, you got to adapt your methods and know your audience. And then the last thing is this. Meet the real need, not just the symptoms. Meet the real need, not just the symptoms. Something I love about Jesus is he had the ability to look past what was on the outside and go straight to the heart. 1 Samuel says this. It says, man looks on the outward appearance, but the Lord God, he looks at the heart of man. Whenever I was younger, I've shared this story before. Some of you guys are new, though, so I get to share it again. When a few years back, they found a mass on my heart. The thing is, before they found the mass on my heart, I was vomiting. I was in pain. And no matter what amount of fenugreek or morphine or Demerol, whatever medicines they gave me, it never fixed the mass. So they kept feeding my symptoms, but not meeting my need. And what we do sometimes is we forget that about relevance, is we try and fix everybody's symptoms, when in reality, we need to learn to speak to their heart. The Bible says this. It says that there's a gift of the Spirit, something that the Holy Spirit can give you. And it's called prophecy. And prophecy doesn't have to be weird. It doesn't have to be foretelling the future. Prophecy, really, to be honest with you, is just being able to speak into someone's heart. Just being able to look into somebody. The Bible says there's ways to do that, that God gives us the ability to just look right past all what they think is wrong with them and look right at their heart. Have you ever had somebody do that before? They look past all the stuff you think is wrong and they just talk right to your heart. That's God wanting to minister to you. Here's what Jesus did. Jesus sat down with people all the time, and they would come in and they would be complaining about one thing. And all of a sudden, he would say, yeah, but what about this? And he would touch something in their life. And he'd say, that's the real problem right there. It's not all these people hurting your feelings, you know? It's not all this. What it is it's some unforgiveness down inside of you. That let's work on that. Jesus was able to meet the heart need of everybody. And so today, for us, we need to learn to look past all the symptoms. There was times in my life, as a pastor, it's very difficult. Whenever your job involves, for lack of a better word, performance, when your job involves being up in front of people, then all of a sudden you open yourself up to everybody, you know, criticizing, having a say-so in what you do, kind of like a coach, right? Everybody loves Nick Saban until Auburn runs a touchdown back, and then you get on the radio and they're telling him, fire Saban, you know. He should have done this, he should have done that. And I'm thinking, You're sitting at home on your couch. This man gets paid $5 million a year to do what he does. You're sitting at home on your couch telling him how to do his job. All right, that doesn't make any sense. I've had people talk to me before, and sometimes I've even had people like mad at me before. And there was a time in my life when to be honest with you, I would get right back up in their face. One of my terrible habits that God needs to break in me is I'm really good at being smart aleck. Like, that's like a talent I have. It's not a good talent, but it is a talent I have. And I got a smart mouth, and I've been popped in it a couple of times, and it still didn't help. But there was a time people would criticize or be judgmental, and I'd get right back up in their face. And then God began to show me, if I'm going to be relevant, being relevant isn't about being cool. It's about finding out what's really going on. So there's been times people have gotten up in my face, and I've diffused the situation by looking past what they're saying into their heart. And I've been saying, you know what, there's something else going on here. So yeah, I'm going to let you blow up on me if you want to. That's fine. I won't say anything back because I know there's something else going on. And we need to work on that. Sometimes we have this problem with rejection, or we have this problem with pain. We have these issues going on inside of us, and so we blow up on other people. Jesus would look past all that, and he would look at your heart. Jesus told the Pharisees, he said, "You look good on the outside, boys, but on the inside you're full of dead men's bones. You're doing everything right on the outside, but on the inside you need some work. There's no life there." I'm going to tell you something today. If we're going to be relevant with people, we got to look past the outside and look at the heart of the matter. If we're going to reach people for Christ, that's what we've got to do. And on the flip side of that, let me tell you what Jesus is doing today for you. If you're not serving God today, especially maybe you're a Christian, and maybe there's some things going on in your life, Jesus is looking past all the stuff that you've got going on. He's looking at your heart. He's looking at your heart. He's looking past your bad habits. He's looking past all that. Look, we've got these bad habits we want to stop. And it doesn't matter. You can go to AA, you can go to Bradford, you can go wherever you want to go to quit your bad habits. But until your heart changes, the Bible says this, guard your heart, for it is a wellspring of life. Everything that you do, everything that you say, every way that you act comes from your heart. He says, protect that part. Heal that part first. And then all the outside stuff, it'll change on its own. It'll change all by itself. Some of you may come in here today, you say, "Gabriel, I've been here for a while now, and I've got some stuff I need to quit, I need to stop doing." Let me be honest with you today. Let's work on your heart. Let's work on your devotion to Christ. Are you following Christ? Are you living for Christ? Today he wants to look past all the outside and get to the heart of the matter. Why don't you close your eyes with me today?
Thanks for listening to the Gateway Family Church Podcast. For more information about Gateway, visit www.gatewayfamily.cc.